Morning, I would like to. I don't have a PowerPoint, but I borrowed the PowerPoint here. I want to speak about love, the storm calmer. You know, today, if you read the papers, there's so much hatred coming up from the president of the US of A right down to the general public. Every human being is speaking hatred. We are trying to overcome hatred with hatred. We are trying to increase the level of hatred over another hate, hoping that we can subdue hatred. But you know, they found out the only cure for hatred is love. Love overcometh everything. Amen? The language we use, the actions we participate and partake, speak strongly about our hearts. Do we love or are we filled with hatred? And this morning, I took this portion of scripture where Jesus takes the disciples across a beautiful trip. Anyone of you been to Israel? I crossed Galilee, eh? Man, I've done it. Not only did I cross Galilee, I did some work for the Israeli government, and they've given me a beautiful certificate that makes me a free man of the city of Jerusalem. I can go there anytime. I've got a certificate free. I've done some work. I studied there. I did some work for the community. And I have a certificate that's signed that I'm a free man of the city of Jerusalem. Anyway, I'm free man in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But it added to my freedom. I got a double freedom now. Just to let you know how double I am. But this morning, I looked at this and I thought, you know, do you know that Jesus loved his disciples? Do you have any doubt that Jesus didn't love them? Any of you got any doubt? No. Jesus handpicked each one of them. He didn't ask them, send in your application. Who wants to be a disciple? Hand in your application. No. He personally, prayerfully, purposefully handpicked one by one. Handpicked. Even he knew Judas was going to betray. He handpicked him. Does it check your theology? He doesn't. Do you agree with this statement that God knows the Alpha to the Omega? Therefore, he would have known Judas was and will and definitely will betray him. Yet, he handpicked him. I'm sure Donald Trump will not want Jesus in his organization. Because if you knew somebody's going to rip you off, you take him in? Jesus handpicked, and he handpicked everyone, and the whole reason of handpicking is he was picked because he loved them. And he wanted to show the world, listen, this is clearly what Jesus wanted to show the world, that the ones that the world wrote off, he will take them and they will write history for them. What the world wrote off, fishermen, tax collectors, the write-off of society, Jesus took those write-offs and allowed them to be with him, to rewrite history now. No wonder my name is there, Peter. Jesus loved. You know, the thing I want to drive this morning is we love our spouse. We love our kids. But you know, sometimes in that love, there's a sense that your kid may not turn out the way you want them. But I love my kids, friend. Let me tell you that. I cannot change that love. It's engineered right within me to love my kids. That are my kids. Love. Even they go through the wildest and the most furious storms, I will be the storm chaser. I'll chase that storm. Not to chase the storm for chasing, but to salvage my kid from that storm. And here, Jesus gives a beautiful illustration of his love, and the disciples have yet to grasp the love of the heart, the Father, love of God, that he loved them. Here he goes on a beautiful stroll. Maybe it's Valentine's Day preparation. He takes them on a stroll. And he said, let's go on a cruise. Oh, man, the first cruise. Can you imagine going on a cruise with Jesus? I think the tickets will be sold out. If they say Jesus is going on a Caribbean cruise, man, I'll be the first one there. Jesus, I'm in the Bible, I'm Peter, man. Here, Jesus invites them on a cruise. You know, life is sometimes like a cruiser. You cruise in life, and then sometimes you hit rough storms, rough patch. Sometimes the winds get stronger than you. It blows your hair off your head. We call that the storms of life. Or sometimes you just have smooth sailing. Do you know in Galilee at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, every day, Galilee is high up in the hills with water, it's hills, and every day at 3 o'clock, out of the hills, a gushing wind will blow through and turn that calm little lake into a stormy one. And then what happened? And life is so unpredictable. How many of you can predict life? I was just telling Malcolm this morning, somebody asked me, Pastor Miso, what's your plan for the year? I said, my plan is to live one day at a time. With today's turmoil, with today's uncertainty, we have a madman who has the capacity to press the button and use the first atomic bomb in modern time. Yeah. So life is uncertain. But you know, the only certainty is that God loves me. You mean? God loves you. Turn around and tell somebody God loves you. God loves you. Oh, how he loves you, friend. Can we just read from there? The day when evening came, he said to his disciple, let's go over to the other side. Let's go over. Quite an affirming statement, a statement loaded with guarantees. Let's go across. If I say, Malcolm, let's go for dinner. We'll go for dinner, man. Amen. It's affirmed. It's confirmed. It's definite. He said, let's go across. He said, let's go. And so, leaving the crowd behind, look at it. Jesus sometimes puts the masses out there to spend time with the ones he really loves you. He loves the masses, but he wants to spend quality time. Husbands and wife, there are times you need to put your kids aside. And put away all the drama and the show. Just spend time with you. I spent 6 days with my wife up in the country. Actually, I cut short. It was 7 days I cut short. 6 days I came back. I felt too lonely in the country. Honestly. Nobody to talk to. I talked to everyone that I could. Everyone I'll talk to. Came to the point, no one to talk to now. The country is such a small town. We were in Creswick. I drove to Castlemaine. Castlemaine, I drove further to Drysdale. Dalesford. Talk to people, sat down, chit-chat, nothing else to chit-chat. Then I came back, and then my kid came up with his girlfriend and joined us. When he left, the day my Shannon left, I felt very lonely. I told my I'm going to go home already. You know, I love people. I'm addicted to people. I have a very strong addiction. I love people. You know why? Because I want to tell people my story. Honestly, you know, and that's what the Bible says. Go tell the world the good news. Jesus loved you. Jesus saved you. Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your salvation. Jesus alone is the way. That's all. I love to tell that story. I've told it a million times. And I still want to tell another million times. And Jesus pulled out from that crowd. And he said, the story time is over. Now it's the one-to-one. Let's go across. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Jesus knew the storm was coming up? Do you think Jesus knew that his disciples were turned against him? But yet he took them. Therefore, what do you think was his purpose of taking them across? If he knew, why did he do it? Let me tell you why he did it. He wanted them. He wanted to put them in a situation not to test him, but to test them. We love when all the things are good. Amen? Hallelujah. We can sing love till the rain come down. When one thing goes off in our life, suddenly that love tune is altered to complaints, criticisms. And it turns another dial and it goes to hatred. And you blame God. He was with them. How many of you would... I know a lot of you would like to be in my presence. But can you imagine in the presence of Jesus? I won't go home. I'll stay with him, man. I'll bring my wife along. Sure. Amen. But this morning, I want to share with you this whole concept of love in the midst of a storm. Love is the storm calmer. You don't counter a storm with another storm. You cannot counter storm. Every storm that breezes and blows through life is purposefully driven with an intent. Lessons learned from the storm will make us better in the calmer days. You know, every ship that is built, what's its purpose? Is it built to be berthed in a harbor, or is it built to face the storm? And every storm it faces, it comes back, they remodify, they redo it, that it will have a more calmer journey the next time round. Don't point a finger at God. I'm going through a change in my life. I'm finished with my church years. I'm taking on a new season. I'm walking into an unknown room. I'm walking into a new dimension in my life. I'm walking with more dependency and trust in God. I'm walking now just believing 36 years. Hallelujah. I just have to sometimes some numbers you got to remember if you don't want a storm in your life. So I must remember that with my wife, I've been 36 years. Accurate? Correct. Hallelujah. And you know, through 36, God has seen us through. But you know, I believe, to be honest, I believe I got another good 20 years in this life. It's a new journey in life. New fields to explore. New frontiers to take. New trails to blaze. But you know, my God is still the same. Hallelujah. Now it's for me to see all that I got saved in 1973 to today is to see that 44 years of trusting God materialize in the days that God has for me. I like the ending song we sang. He said, "You are my ever-present help in time of need." God is ever-present with us. Whatever you go through, the storm. And Jesus takes these guys across the storm. And then the story starts. Jesus goes to sleep. Hallelujah. Jesus sleeps, man. It's okay to sleep, but not now. I'm watching you. Not now. I'm watching. I've got a hawk eye, man. I can see you. But Jesus decided to take a rest. Let me tell you, the rest was a deliberate intent. Jesus goes through. And the symbolic of this is what people think, that God, that's why when we go through troubles, we always say, "God, you are asleep. You don't know what I'm..." Let me tell you, in his sleep, he knew what was going on. You ever slept and you know what's going on? I ever. Sometimes when I sleep, I don't know what happened also. I don't even know if I slept. And I wake up and ask my wife, "Hey, what happened?" She said, "You were snoring." I said, "Oh, okay." But Jesus slept. And then the storm raged. The storm raged furiously. The storm changed the whole emotions of the disciples. One time, "Master, Lord," they turn right to him. Listen to what they say. "Jesus, you don't care about us." What did I do? I didn't engineer the storm. They turn around and scold me. And they said words that cut deep. "Jesus, you don't care for us." How many of you ever told Jesus that? "I've gone through life. Lord, you don't care about me. I'm suffering. You don't care. You just left me." Remember that the lady said she felt nothing, hatred to God. Some people walk away from church because of misunderstanding and they hate God. God didn't do anything. He always takes the blame. The buck stops with him. But they went through and then they started going through this. And there are three lessons I want to pick up from here. I like teaching the Bible. How many of you like teaching? But I love the Bible. I lost 10,000 lessons and some of that because my computer crashed. I sit down and I write. I write for magazines. I just love the Word of God because it's so rich with depth of things you can learn in life, man. And every situation of life I go through, I read that same portion, I have a different understanding. And this time I want to share with you, and I like this one, experience His presence. I want to talk about His presence. His presence meant so much to the disciples, but little did they know His presence was so powerful. You know, friend, we are in the presence of God today. Two, the presence of God is with you. Amen? You can say, "Let's go to Macca's." You can say, "Let's go have a meal." You can say, let's take a ride to town. But you can never say, let's go to church. Because you are the church. You can never say, let's go. The Bible never, it says, let's gather as the church. Let's assemble as a church. As a body, we declare in unison the goodness of our God. You can never go to church. You are the church. Amen? I am the church. And I am proud that God used me, the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be a church. Don't ever say, let's go to church. Huh? Let's gather together. Let's assemble together. That's the two words they use. Huh? Let's assemble. When we assemble, the unison is here. The synergy is here. Wow, the power of His presence. They didn't realize the kingdom of God was with them in that little dingy boat. The kingdom of God was with them. One lesson I want to bring as you go through life and as you faith. This lesson I learned is because I'm going through a situation in life. I'm going through with my wife. We are looking at things. We're really reassessing and just going through. And as I was doing this, God reminded me, I have not left you. I have not forsaken you. Actually, I'm part of your journey. I'm with you. And as I looked at it and I said, God, if you be with me, therefore, what is there for me to learn? Number one, I want to bring to your attention in this story, it tells us that in His presence is the fulfillment of all His promises. Because He promised, I will be with you until the end of time. It's a promise you cannot erase. He didn't tell us, I'll be with you in good times. In all the times, I'll be with you, man. I'll be with you. There is the fulfillment of His promise in His presence. The fact that He parked Himself in the boat was to tell them, I picked you, I loved you, I chose you, you are mine, and I'm going to be with you. If we sing together. You'll never sing when I'm there. Honestly, His promise was, they forgot the, you know, many times we forget God's promises. But we ask, we tell God, you remember about me? We want God to remember what we said, but we don't remember what He said. How many of you read your Bible always? Huh? The Bible is a book of promises. I love you with an everlasting love. Knock, I'll open. Seek, you will find. You are the apple of my eye. I engraved you. I tattooed your name on the palm of my hands. I chose you. Many are called, I chose you. His promises are real. His promises does not change with our circumstances. We change. But His promises don't change. And they failed to realize. Jesus told them, I'll take you across. He said, let's go across. They failed to catch that promise. I'll take you across. You know, many times I look at the hatred that is today, the level of hatred is so high, so intense, that we divide people's group, we divide color, we divide race, we divide creed. Let me tell you, can I make this statement which I shared in the early morning with the senior group, that Jesus is not a Christian? Listen, Jesus is not and is never a Christian. You can take me on the theology because the Bible says Jesus is the Christ. You and I are the Christians. Two, there's no such thing as Jesus is the God of Christians. If you do that, we become like the other religions. God of Islam, God of Buddha, God of Baha'i, God of which high, I don't know. But there's only one God, Jehovah, the Creator. So our God is not a Christian God. Our God is God the Creator. Do not start pocketing and putting that this is my God. No, it's God of all. Which means even the non-Christians, someday when they come to know Jesus, that's your God. God is not a Christian. Huh? Jesus is not a Christian. Christianity only came in the book of Acts chapter 9 when they first time were called by Antioch Christians. Before that, they were called followers of the way. So Jesus is not Christian. I rock a few people's boat. Jesus is not Christian. Jesus is the Christ. What is the Christ? The Messiah. What's the Messiah? The Savior. The Redeemer. How can He be a Christian? No. He is the Christ, the ultimate. We, the believers, are called little Christ. Christians. So that's my God. And you remember that the presence of God is the most powerful presence you can have? If He be for you, what did He say? Who can be against you? Greater is He that is in you. Do you know that promise? Do you cling on to that promise? Do you articulate that promise in your heart? Do you vocalize this every day? God, you are with me. Even though I don't know what's happening, God, you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, it's only just but a shadow. It's not dead yet. It's the shadow only. In order to have a shadow, there must be a light. Amen? So in that valley, the light is shining. You are the light. And the reflection is the shadow. Remember, that's a promise. The presence of God is real, church. When you come here, come with this mindset. We are gathering together. We are bringing His presence. His presence is not in this place. Huh? His presence doesn't live in the chair. His presence lives in you and I. When we come together, we bring to practice life the presence of God. They didn't realize the presence was in it. Whatever storm you go through, before you utter, before you say words that you regret, quieten your heart and remember and ask God, are you with me, Lord? Because He'll definitely be, because He has not. God doesn't leave us. It's us who leave Him. Amen? You know why God can't leave you? Because He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He cannot remove Himself from being everywhere. We can dislodge ourselves from His presence. We initiate the dislodgement. Eh? I want to come out. I want to exercise freedom. But His presence was there. Whatever storm you go through, whatever circumstance, my God is with you, friend. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The world can throw all they want. The world can say all they need to say. Society can point every finger at you. Even the church can call you names. But remember, in the eye of God and in His presence, He called you my beloved. My beloved. His presence in whatever you go through, as you journey through this year, remember, when you are in a crisis, remember His promise. The promise of His presence. Amen? His presence is, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I could never tell my wife and kids, I'll never leave you. Because I don't hold that exit permit. Eh? Somebody signs that exit permit for me. Isn't that true? I would love to, but I wouldn't want to be 200 years old, wobbling and trying to. Huh? I have a good friend back home in Singapore yesterday, or 2 days ago. The senior pastor of my life, he's the one pastor that pastored my life, a pastor that saw me into ministry, a pastor that pushed me, nudged me, knuckled me, changed my temperament to be what I am. And 2 days ago, his wife went for an NGO. You know what's an NGO? Pump in, out, finish, eh? Angiogram. While she was on the table doing the NGO, her heart stopped and she died. And she has got two beautiful kids growing up. And suddenly people show, but angiogram, you don't die. You do, if the doctor doesn't do well. You do, if you got fear in your heart. Because when I was doing my angiogram, and I didn't want to sleep, I'm gung-ho, eh? I said, no, I want to see. And while he was doing it, he said, hey, Pastor, he said, Reverend Miso, take it easy. I said, I'm okay. He said, no, the rhythm of your heart tells me you're kicking in anxiety. I said, how do you know? He said, we read the rhythm. And I thought, wow, externally, I thought I'm okay. But unknown, my emotions were kicking in fear, uncertainty. Because before going in for that angio, just as you're about to go in, you're sitting stark naked on the table with a cloth over you, feeling the cold metal on your back, and the doctor brings 28 things that can go wrong during it. Please sign. I said, why? I told him, why do you do it now? I can't back out. You took my clothes all away. I'm already ready. 28. And I, you know, after you sign that, immediately, you know what happened? Fear is instilled already. Oh, man, I said, God. And my wife left me. And I'm sitting alone. I said, God, she gone to work? This joker gives me a list of 28. What's going on? The metal plate below me is so cold, I'm freezing on the back. and fear. And unknown to us, when fear goes in, fear has a way of taking root inside. Ooh, I said 28 ways, but God is good. God is with me, friend. Number two, not only is this, but in His presence, you find fullness of peace. Jesus in the storm was peaceful. Hey, how many of you are peaceful in a storm? We'll be panicky. We'll be running around like a headless chicken. Eh? Scolding everybody, scolding the wind. That's me. Eh? Because I'm a control freak. I like to have everything in control. Eh? And sometimes the Lord does it so He takes away control from you and says, you are not in control. But there's peace. You know, the world needs more of peace than any other thing we talk of. Peace is not the absence of fear. Peace in the presence of fear. Not in its absence. You don't need courage in absence of fear. You need courage in spite of fear. I want to be courageous. There's fear. Do you know God allows two kinds of storms in our life? One is called the storm of correction. Two is the storm of perfection. Amen? When you go through the storm, ask yourself, am I being corrected or perfected? The storm that the disciples were going in was not a storm of correction. It was a storm of perfection of their understanding of the Jesus they are walking with. God perfects us in storms. You know, metal, gold is refined in fiery furnaces. It takes the fiery moments of your life to refine you, to perfect you. And in that storm of perfection, they lost the plot. They didn't know who was there. The perfecter of their faith was there. The author and the perfecter of their faith was sitting in that boat, lying down, taking the storm. I wonder, could we lay back and lie down when the storm blows over us? Eh? Oh, what perfect peace. Eh? They call that in the Bible, say, oh, perfect peace. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. In your presence, there's a peace beyond human understanding. In your presence, as the storm would rage, I could smile. God's presence brings peace. You know, you in a church, in your family, pray for God's peace, presence, friend. There's too much of hatred in the families, too much of hatred in community, in workplaces, that you go to work, you walk the streets. You know, what happened in Burke Street? It's a sad, sad. You know, my kid would, if it was a little bit more earlier, my kid would have been down for lunch. He works in Burke Street, 500 Burke Street. He goes down for lunch, around, walks around there. If it was a bit more later, he would be coming down to go home. And he worked there, and they shut down the whole building. He couldn't even come out. And somebody lost it all. And the peace of so many lives were shattered in just a moment of idiocracy. Idiocracy is silliness. He blew somebody's life. Kid, I don't know. When I was telling my wife, if I was there, honest to God, I would have jumped the car when it was doing the wheels. I would have jumped that car. I would have pulled the guy out of the car. Because he was just going around. Honestly, you don't know me. I work on the street. My wife would know. I don't walk away from things like this. I don't. I would have jumped him, pulled him out on the road, wrestled with him. Honestly, I'll do that. I don't care. People can say, Pastor Mister, you're a pastor. No, I would have done that. I know, my wife now, I walked the street. I one day stopped a father from beating his kid, and I was taken to court because I beat the father. Because I am made this way. I'm wired this way. I don't walk away, friend. I don't. So see him going 5 rounds, and then the whole patrol cars keep following him as the lead, and he rampages over, and this, man, I wouldn't allow that. Not me. I'm not a violent guy. I'm a peaceful guy. Peace, brother. I grew up in the hippie days. Peace, boys. Peace. Make love, not war. But you know, that moment shattered so many lives. The last one that passed away was a young lady, just got promoted, senior management, Deloitte. Her life shattered, taken away. You know, friend, that's why I tell you, Live one day at a time. You do not know what happened. Whenever you wake up in the morning, just put this. Just say, Lord, thank you. Just thank you, Lord, for this day. I would love to plan the whole week. I like to have a good week, but just let me go through one day first, Lord. There is peace in His presence. When you're looking for peace, park your life in His presence. You want peace? Sit with Him. In His presence, there's peace. In that storm, Jesus calmed the storm. He spoke and the wind stopped. He uttered words, the waves come down. You know what? He showed the disciples, He was not a magician. He showed them this. He showed them one lesson. He said, this is the power of faith in God. You may never stop. You and I may never pray and the storm will stop. Let me tell you. But our prayer in Christ and our association with Him in His prayer will stop the storm. Because He's the one that shields the storm from us. Remember we sang that? My shield, my mighty tower. We sang that song. He's the shield that shields us from the storm. And that's what a parent does. You shield your kids. Amen? That's what a husband does to the wife and the kids. You become the shield. Amen? Husbands? Don't abuse your wife. Protect your family. Don't abuse your wife. I'm a shield, man. And I thank God I'm a German shield, made strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Good quality. Lastly, and in that boat of confusion and storm, they failed to realize that in His presence, there is power. A power that is unmatchable. In power. God is a God of power. Hallelujah. Hey, my God is a powerful God. He's a big God. Amen? Yet so small, He can live in my heart. And because He lives in my heart, Paul says, I, Paul, can do all things because He liveth in me. That's the powerhouse living in me. You know, I walk the streets. When I came to Australia, every Saturday night, I go out at 11:45. I come back at 3:45, 3 o'clock. I go on the streets to hunt down drug addicts. Huh? I hunt. Oh, man, I'm a hunter. The reason I hunt is because I want to help them. Yes. I've seen counselors get beaten. I've got a few beaten. I carry a few scars of my own. But I never cease to go and hunt them. And you know, people always ask me, Pastor Miso, are you not afraid? I said, me not afraid. My knees are doing the rock and roll, man. But you know, I walk with this power because I know God called me. God called me and I go. I walk out, I hunt. I look for drug addicts. Catch them. Wrestle them. Knuckle them. Sometimes elbow a little bit and sit down. And that's what I do. I go out for many years to just reach out and help people. And I found out today we have lost that. You know why? We have let fear come into our lives. And fear cripples your power. And we sing in church, God is good. But we step out that door, we are like wimps. We mock the power of God. We mock, friend. I'm not afraid. This is my calling. My verse that I got saved in 1973 was Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For there in it, in that word, lies the power unto salvation to those who would believe, the Jews, then the Greeks, or the Gentiles. Verse 15 says, for that reason, that sole reason, I go out and share the gospel. I find the church, I bring this indictment, the church is powerful within the walls. Outside of the walls, we are like wimps. The power dismantles once we go out the door. But if God, look at the storm. He deliberately took them into the eye of the storm. And He showed them the power of God overrides all this. Demons flee at the name of Jesus. Where's our power? Live a life with this power. Don't go around overpowering people. No, God has not called us to go around muscling people, eh? But when the moment of life comes, stand that power. God, You are my powerhouse, Lord. With You, I can do all things, Lord. With You, Lord, my muscles begin to flex, Lord. With You, my heart pumps, Lord. Let's go take it, Lord. Let's go take that place. Let's go take Jericho, Lord. The power of God. You know, church, we are not here just to massage one another with good songs and good sermon. No. Don't massage one another with. Don't use spiritual massage. You know, one thing I dislike is massaging. I was walking with my wife in a mall in Sydney, and this punk from some corner jumped and wanted to advertise massaging, and he grabs me, and I tell you, he nearly flew the whole shopping center out. And I don't like people massaging me. I don't know why. From the day I was born, I cannot. I can see people sitting on the bed, and I think I'll throw the masseuse out also. I just dislike massaging. But my wife likes us. I have to massage her sometime. Thank God for good hands and muscles. But you know, some of us come to church and just want to be spiritually massaged. Feel good. And then next week we come, and week again, massage. Please, guy, if you ask me to massage, I'll massage you with my elbow. You know, that's the reason why we are not strong. We don't read, we don't feed ourselves, we come here. The church is not a feeding agency, friend. The church don't feed you. We give you the supplements. You do the main feeding. My whole church knows, because I run this theory that if you come to church to be fed, 6 days you don't eat, you're dead, man. You're a dead piece of meat already. You eat 6 days, you come here full, I give you the supplements, man. I give you the and then you go out, and you do. But there is power, church. I pray that you and I will look at our God. God is my power, amen? When I'm weak, what? You make me strong. You make me strong. Not me. I can't make myself strong. But you make me strong. How many of you believe that? When I'm weak, you make me strong. Friend, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I've been through the weaknesses of life where I felt all my education, all my networking, and everything in me just fall to the ground like liquid. And it's only the grace of God that gives me that strength to wake up and take that next step and say, Lord, I'll go on. There is power in His presence. And I pray, Pastor Kelvin, journey with you through the promises of God, that we will captivate this promise. God, you are my strength. When I'm weak, you make me strong, Lord. This morning, some of us are weak. And I like what the lady said, we perform strength. We perform that we are strong. But inside, we are breaking up. We are shattered. We are divided. We are crying out. We are lost. Desperate. But outside, we present macho-ness. Who, good-looking. Always gung-ho. Honestly, friend, how long can you hold on to that? Numbers 33:23 says, one day, your sin will find you out. It exposes you, your weaknesses. But I'm weak, friend. You know, it's courageous to say, I'm weak and I need you, Lord. It's deceptive to say, Lord, I'm strong when I'm weak. But there's power in His presence. And as you journey through life, life is like a boat. You're going through marriage life. You got kids come aboard. You got career. You got work. You got mortgages. You got dub. And the boat gets a bit more heavy and the water line gets a bit higher. You feel that you're almost going underwater. Have you felt that? You know, I don't like heights and I don't like water. I swim, the water must be only up to here. Serious. One day, I jumped in the pool and I realized the water was... And everybody looked, so I sat down. It looked like it was here. Because I cannot swim. I can't swim. I don't know why I can't swim. I tried so many... My kids call me, Daddy, you look like a walrus. You look like whatever. You can't float. I don't know why. I tried. I've been to all the swimming things. I just can't coordinate the legs and the hands. I can't... Suddenly, if I'm going this way, I'm going that way down. And one thing is, I don't like is height. I must have my feet on the ground, then I feel safe. And it's a very biblical thing. I like solid ground. There's always a justification. Whenever it comes to me, my kids say, Daddy, you always justify well. I'm a lawyer, but anyway. But, you know, friend, you go through struggle. Don't pretend. I think I love that video. Do not perform in church. Church is not a performance. Don't perform. If you love us, if we take one another in love, as brotherly love, then there's nothing to be ashamed. We all are humans. I have my moments, you have your moments. But if I'm willing to bear my moments, I think I'd be a bigger encouragement to many than if I pretend and performed well. I'm not a performer, friend. I could never go to acting school because I could never act. My life is That's my life. Read my life as that's what the life God gives me. And God is the only one that gives us power. In closing, I want to challenge you. This is a new year, friend. You don't know what storms are coming. This is just February. I know next week is Valentine's Day. The wind will be blowing nicely. Anyway, anyone can tell me why does the symbol of a heart means love? And the symbol of that heart doesn't look like a real heart. Have you seen a human heart? Does it look like that? Where did you get that symbol? Huh? You know what's the real Christian symbol for love? You know what? Who said it? The cross. The cross is the symbol of all symbols of love. For on that cross, love was purchased. For on that cross, the blood of Jesus was the redemption of the lost. That was love. Love fulfilled. Someone asked Jesus, how much do you love me? He said, as far as my hands are stretched, I love you. That should be the symbol of, actually on Valentine's Day, we should put that. The symbol. We are catching all the worldly things and incorporating into our Christian beliefs. Where did that heart come from? I asked so many people, but Pastor Miso, it looks nice. I said, yeah, the devil looks nice. You know the Bible says when the devil comes, he'll never come like a devil. He'll come like a nice, handsome guy. Thank God I'm not that handsome. But honestly, look at it. I love the cross. And I don't know about you, but I carry a cross with me. Not because I love that reminder on Golgotha. God loved me. He said so much about loving me on Golgotha. He did what he loved me. I love that, friend. That's my Valentine's Day. But as you go through this year, remember, your faith is going to be tested. Your walk with God is going to be tested. Your commitments are going to be shaken, refined. Remember this, in that storm, remember His presence. Remember His promises. Remember He's the power in that storm. Do not tap onto another power to ride that storm. In our struggles, we go to counselors, we go to the library, we forget, we make God the last resort when He should be the first resource in our life. Run to Him. Let God take your boat. Let God take you through the storm. I don't know what storm you're going to go through. I'm going through a storm in my life. I think Pete and I've got an Indonesian son, a spiritual son, and a Hong Kong daughter. I have a lot of spiritual kids around with me. And we share our hearts, we share our journey, and they pray for us. You know, it's always, I may be a pastor, but that doesn't make me insulated from all the cares. In fact, I go through more, friend. Sometimes I don't understand why other people's problem they throw onto me. And then God reminds me, you throw yours on me. I say, okay, thank you for that. Thanks for that reminder. I'll go on now. But let's pray. Let's pray for one another. You do not know, sicknesses may be coming on this year for some of us. You do not know. A good friend of mine just on an NGO table died. But you know one thing, I want you to hold on to the promises of God. Whatever comes, whatever the enemy throws, whatever storm of correction or perfection, hold on. God is with me. Amen? God is with me. Let's stand, church. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes.